Chapter 7. The High Country Bastards. The best part of the day had expired when I returned to my little village. The square was quiet when I walked through it, with the shutters of all the homes and shops closed for the night. There was light coming through the cracks, lining them in warm orange, and sometimes I could hear the sounds of life within. But I could see no one, and they could not see me. That was good. I found the door of my home and the gate to Ambrosius's pen wide open when I arrived. Nix was nowhere to be found, and neither was my old donkey. I sighed and entered the home, looked around a while, and found Nix had unburdened me of all my beer, as I'd known he would. I put the empty basket on the table, I'd eaten all the bread during the walk home, and checked a few secret places. When I found I still had a handful of bits, I relaxed somewhat. There was an old tallow candle on a shelf above the bed. I got it down, cut a spark into a dish of kindling, and had it lit before long. I went outside to search for Ambrosius. He'd not gone very far. I'd built my shack on the edge of the forest tree line, and the forest itself was a gentle, open space around those parts, with gaps between the trees large enough to drive a wagon through and ground cover so soft that losing consciousness out there wasn't the worst thing that could happen. Ambrosius was there among the trees, relaxing in a patch of grass by a gentle brook. When I came upon him, he lifted his head to look at me, eyes saying something like, "Oh, there you are." Then he farted loudly and lay his head back down in the grass. I was fairly pissed at Nix when I saw the state of my home, but seeing Ambrosius sprawled out so obviously enjoying himself like that, I started to feel better about it. I guess Nix must have known he couldn't stick around until I came back. He had his own habits to see to, after all. He'd had enough brains left to open up the pen so Ambrosius could head out in search of food and water when he needed it. And my donkey was no idiot. He knew he didn't have to go far for what he needed. I suppose I was most surprised I didn't find him back over at Yander's farm trying to fuck that mare again. I brought the old boy home, fed and watered him, brushed him down, and laid out some fresh straw for his bed. He flopped over into the pile, rolled around for a bit just as happy as a pig and shit, and then I swear by On and all his children that the little bastard smiled at me. I took the handful of money I had left down to the alehouse, purchased a cask, and brought it home. It was enough to smooth me over without putting me under, which was good. I had to go dig the next day. The next day, I returned to digging. The old routine, so damn familiar I no longer had to think about what I was doing. Stepping into the leathers, getting Ambrosius his breakfast, hitching him up to the cart, throwing the tools into the cart, throwing some food and some skins of water into the cart, walking up the road to the mountain. All of these were automatic actions now, as thoughtless as breathing or swallowing. I went back to the old spot and spent most of the day rooting around in the soil, but I did not do well. Digs were like that sometimes. Herta had a funny way about replenishing the bones of her body, and it was impossible to predict. Sometimes you could come back to the same site 3 or 4 times in a row, each time finding it lousy with iron and tin, copper and such. Sometimes even the finer elements, which were very rare but sold handsomely at the apothecary, if you could find him. Other times you'd go to the place where your luck had been best and find nothing but the soil and the creatures that lived within it. At the time, I'd accepted this as one of the many natural rhythms of Erda, like the shifting of day to night, or the spinning of the clouds overhead, and how they always moved from east to west within the Verm's great cavity. But then I didn't understand the mechanism by which the metals of the soil were replenished, nor did I know how the Dwergas played their part. Back then it was all mystery and magic. I think I must have stayed out there 2 or 3 days. It's hard to be sure now. I recall there wasn't much food to sustain me as I'd spent my remaining money on drinking. All I had left was a small sack of barley. I'd put a pot of water over the fire and stir it until I had porridge. It was hearty, if flavorless stuff, but I didn't have very much of it and had to leave before long. My plan was to sell what little I dug up for enough money to get myself back in the game. Just enough money to get me moving. Then I could travel farther out to some other places I knew. Places where I'd seen great luck before. But I'd forgotten about Nix and his new business. The haul on that trip had been pretty miserable, and what I did come away with had to be sold at a fraction of the normal price because of that fucking drunk. I came away with 2 bits, which weren't even enough to bring a cask home that night. I'd have to do my drinking at the ale house and do it slowly. In my experience, 2 bits swallowed fast. In a village as small as ours, the ale house was never just an ale house. It was a common place where everyone gathered for various reasons. It was large enough that you could fit all of the villagers inside the main room at once if they squeezed together. In the mornings, breakfast was served, and though the place was never packed at this time, there were enough patrons for breakfast that Herden, the owner, kept up the practice. And they held meetings there often enough, if the mayor, again Herden, had to address us for some reason, or if he had to answer for some doings that had the people up in arms. It was good, because after the affairs of the day were finished, you could get to more important matters, like drinking. I preferred to drink alone at home, as I think I've said. I'm no great lover of company. But on this night, I had only enough for a few pints with no likely receptacle to carry it away. I was going to be forced to go sit among my betters. It was fully dark when I arrived. I stood outside the door, staring at it, with the sounds of drinking and laughter bleeding from within. The sounds of their voices, every bang of a tankard on a tabletop, it all made me flinch as I forced my hand toward the door. It seemed harder to move my hand along as it came closer to the handle, as if I was pushing through some invisible force, or I was having one of those nightmares where I cannot run. My fingertips even brushed the handle. But then the door swung back and I was blasted by the noise and the heat spilling out of the door. Yander stood before me. He was staring at me as if I was a rotten meal someone had served him. "Udo," he said. "Yander," I nodded. We squeezed by each other, Yander sucking in his gut to avoid touching any part of me. I heard him mutter something under his breath, so I asked, "How's your mare getting along?" "What was that?" He'd frozen in place but continued to look away from me. "Your mare. I'd heard around that you were having some problems with her, that she wasn't moving around with the same speed. I sure hope she's all right. Not sick, I take it."
No, she's fine.
Thanks for asking." He continued on without another word. He hadn't looked at me once. "Yeah, well, give her an apple from me," I said, and then after I let the door close, "Tell her Ambrosius sends his love while you're at it." I started feeling pretty good after I looked around. The place had a decent crowd going, but many seemed not to notice I was there. Usually, if anyone noticed me, they all went quiet and withdrew into themselves, which hadn't happened. Conversations kept going. They kept laughing. I guessed they must have been at it for a while by then, and had reached that stage of drinking where all senses ceased to function at their normal level of sensitivity. There was an empty table in the back of the room as well. Another great sign. Without that, I would have had to stand at the bar, and that never went well. A big gap always opened up around me, an empty space no man would occupy. It slowed down the barkeep's custom, and at some point they'd ask me to leave. The best way was hidden back at a table. Sometimes I think they would have preferred to just serve me at the table, but no self-respecting bar wench would ever bring drinks to a known digger. She wouldn't be able to show her face around town the next day. I approached the side of the bar closest to the exit and waited for the people there to notice me. When they did, they collected their things and shoved off to the other end. Herden got a good look at me then and came down to meet me.
"Udo."
"Herden."
"Imagine you'll be wanting another cask."
"Not tonight. I'm taking my meal out," He froze in place, staring at me. The look in his eyes was not what I'd call friendly. "I'll take it to the table in the back," I assured him. He looked past my shoulder and said, "You think anyone'll have you?" I looked in the same direction as Herden and saw that my empty table was now a formerly empty table. "Ah, fuck.
Yost and Nix are in the back corner across the floor. See them?"
"Yeah, just... shit, yeah, I see them."
"Oh, what's the matter? Don't want your reputation tarnished by sitting at their table?" "That's a laugh."
"I drink alone, damn it."
"Not tonight, it looks like. Not if you want to drink here. I won't have you at my board. And if you hug the wall, you'll make people nervous. Go be friendly. Or go somewhere else."
I put my money down. "There is nowhere else," I grumbled.
"Well, that is a shame."
He pulled me a pint, and I followed the path that featured the least number of people. When I got to their table, Nix took one look at me, coughed, and sprung out of his chair so fast that it toppled over. "Quit it," I hissed. "Pick that chair up and sit down before you have everyone looking."
"You're not going to beat me."
"I will if you get me thrown out of here before I can drink this. Sit down, you idiot. You'd have never seen me coming if that's what I wanted." "Evening, Udo," Yost said. "Yost, how's the shit business?" Yost was the town rubbishman. I made sure to remind him of this as often as possible. "Doing better than yours, I suppose," he suggested. "Don't see you drinking with the rest of us that often. Herda must be stingy with the bounty right now, eh?" "Yeah, it's more like the climate has changed lately," I said, staring at Nix. He'd been in the process of sitting back down to his chair. He froze in place and said,
"I knew it. You're gonna fucking beat me."
"I am not, damn it. Sit down. Beating you would be senseless. As soon beat a child for fouling itself." "Don't think I'd put it past you," Yost said. "Keep that up and there will be a beating." We fell to a period of silent drinking, each of us sullenly eyeballing the other. After a while, it seemed like a contest, as if we were all fighting to see who could drink silently the longest. It was fine by me. But then Yost had to start in again, of course. "Hear there's trouble over at the Matthias farm."
"Oh yeah? What kind?" Nix asked.
"Sounds like Matthias's wife is milking more than the family cow."
"Get out," Nix said. "Lena? She never did."
"Kleasel seems pretty certain."
"She's fucking Kleasel?"
"No, but he claims to know who she is. Says he can prove it. Says she has a birthmark right on her bum."
"Well, how did he see it if he's not the one fucking her?"
"The one who is told him, idiot."
I couldn't restrain myself. I said, "How is Kleasel's claim that she has a birthmark?"
"Not Kleasel," Nix said. "The guy Kleasel knows."
"Whoever it is, how is the claim she has a birthmark any kind of proof? I could claim anything."
"I understand you do claim anything," Yost coughed.
"Hey, eat shit. You know what I'm saying?"
"He's got a point," Nix said.
Yost seemed annoyed. I think he must not have expected us to resist his story.
Okay. "Listen to this. Kleasel told me that this birthmark is shaped like a bird."
I thought about that a moment.
"A bird. That's right. Like a heron in flight."
I glanced at Nix to see if he understood, but he only shrugged. I said, "All right, Yost. He says it's shaped like a bird, so what?"
"Well, doesn't that have the ring of truth?"
"No, it doesn't have the ring of truth. It has the ring of a fucking lunatic."
"Look, Udo, the fact that the birthmark is shaped like a bird is the proof. Why by hell would anyone make up a detail like that? You'd have to be insane."
"No, Kleasel wouldn't have elaborated like that. His man later."
"He's got a point," Nix said.
"He's got fuck all between his ears is what he's got," I said. I took a drink.
Well, there's only one way to find out, Yo said. This'll be good. One of us is just gonna have to lay Lena. I began to laugh. So her choices are a rubbishman, a digger, or the village drunk who moonlights as a digger. I hadn't realized you were such a strategist. Hey, Yost grumbled. I clean up fairly well. Oh yes, that's obvious. I almost couldn't make it back here, there was so much snatch catapulting itself at this table. All right, you asshole. Raining down from the rafters and piling up around my feet. I had to wade through all the snatch just to get here. It was like walking on a pile of dead weasels. Damn it. Like I was the great sea captain Quim Von Busch braving the treacherous swells of Snatch Ocean. Fuck a pig, Udo. Yeah, I said. I looked down into my tankard and saw it had one last swallow. I wanted to take it, but I wasn't quite ready to walk back to the bar. I wondered if I could wait long enough for Nix or Yost to go for a piss. One of them might leave a little behind in his tankard if he did. Nix said, Well, maybe I might have a chance. Stop, Nix, I said. Just let it be. And can everyone please stop talking about fucking Matthias's wife for the love of Ing? It's not what I'd like to be thinking on right now.
Oh, no, Nix said. He sounded honestly sad, which made it hard to stay angry with him. Did you have bad luck in Plattsdorf?
In a manner of speaking, I said.
In a manner of speaking? Yost asked.
In the manner that some degenerate shit-brained asshole decided to go into the digging business and deflate all my prices.
Hey, keep it down, Yost hissed. People are starting to look, man. Don't get us thrown out.
I'm sorry, Udo.
Oh, shut up.
So, next time then? Yost tried. I thought about all the money I'd lost when they rolled me. Then I thought about how little I was earning now that Nix had thrown his hat in. I drained off the rest of my beer to drown the sour turn my gut had taken. I would have to come up with some sort of plan, and fast. I might go the rest of my life without getting laid otherwise.
There's always a next time, Nix said hopefully.
I had nothing to say, nor did I wish to say anything. I excused myself to return to the bar. The place was pretty lively that evening. On the way to the bar, I encountered people that were all jammed together, and I couldn't squeeze by them without coming into contact. They looked at me like I carried a disease, and some of them made comments under their breath. I made as if to say something to them, though, and they turned away. When I returned to the table, I was in a fairly dark mood. I'd drunk halfway through my meager earnings, and I wasn't anywhere near being drunk. I doubted if I'd ever get to sleep that night. I threw the tankard back, sucking the drink down as fast as I could, hoping that if I ingested it faster than my body could absorb it, I might feel anything at all. I knocked the tankard down on the tabletop, and Yost, apparently getting an eyeful of my face, said, Ooh, whoa, that's a sad face ever I saw one. You look meaner than when you first came in here. What's got you worked up so? I nodded at the bar. These cunts and the way they look at us in their fucking alehouse. Look at them. Jammed in shoulder to shoulder at the bar, stepping over each other to get between the tables or huddle up to the fire. And us here with three extra chairs, but do you think anyone comes to sit at the table?
Fuck no, Nix said.
Fuck no's right. Precious little twats. Sure are quick to accept our services though, aren't they? Fucking Stavka and his blessed haggling.
Sorry, Udo, Nix said.
Oh, no, I said, slapping his shoulder. Not you, Nix. You're just trying to get along, same as me. It's that whore son Stavka setting us against each other, as I said. We should put the screws to him.
How so?
Well, we don't sell.
We don't sell.
Fuck Stavka. He's not the only customer around here.
Well, he's one of the few customers around here.
Or we divide the village up, right? Only you sell to Stavka, Nix. It's best you take him. I'll probably gut him if he looks at me wrong. You know how I am.
But you take the smith, I'll take the wheelwright, and maybe we both trade off on the farrier.
You don't really think that would work, do you?
Yost asked. And why wouldn't it?
Well, there aren't many people in this village. Word gets around, you know how people talk. Figure they make out what you're up to. Don't they all just get together and refuse to buy?
Ha! They can't, Nix crowed. They need our wares to ply their trade.
That's right, I said.
Nix and I smiled at each other and shook hands. We were having a real moment.
But can't they hitch a wagon and travel to the next town? Plotzdorf isn't that far away. If they really moved, they could be there and back on the same day if the suppliers are lined up.
Hey, he's right, Nix said. He took a drink and hung his head.
Nix, I prodded.
No, it's no good, Udo. Yost is right. They just squeeze us out eventually. What are we going to do, protest?
To who? I glared back at the people by the bar and spat. Fucking chiselers.
Fucking chiselers, Yost repeated. Fucking chiselers, Nix agreed.
They took a drink, and I sat there glaring.
Come on, Udo, have another drink.
I can't. I have to pace myself because I don't have enough shitting money to carry me through. Not unless one of you assholes wants to buy me a drink. Do either of you assholes want to buy me a drink?
They were both judiciously silent. This is a common skill of the average drunk. It is called sudden spontaneous loss of hearing.
Those whores, I grumbled. Look at us at this table. Young, strapping men with our...
Some of us younger than others, Ud.
Young, strapping men, goddamn you, with our whole lives ahead of us, and we can't find the angle on these high country cocksores.
Technically, we're high country too, Udo, Nix said.
Don't technically me, Nix, I hate that. It's a very technical way to inform someone they're talking out of their ass. It's rude, Nix, and it's beneath you. Do what?
Yost coughed.
It's like if I say a thing to you, Yost, like, oh, I don't know. Oh, fuck me, that was a long day of work out in the fields. I sure am glad that it's over and I can go get a drink. And then you say, well, technically, Udo, the day's not over yet, so you're factually wrong. And you'd be a prick for saying so. It doesn't matter if the day's not technically over. The statement is close enough for the sake of accuracy, unless you mean to find more work to keep you occupied until the day truly is over. But no one does that, Yost. They finish at the farm, head back to town, and have a damned drink like sensible people.
And that's rude? Yost asked.
It is. It's fucking rude. You've added nothing useful to the conversation. All you're doing is throwing in a pointless tidbit highlighting a tiny detail that has no bearing on anything at all. It's confusing and makes you look like an asshole.
You're right, Udo. I apologize, Nix said.
That's accepted, Nix. Warmly accepted. Now, where the fuck was I?
Yost cleared his throat.
Young and, strapping?
Right.
Cunning men as well, yeah? Also, the very guts of this village's economy. We're the asshole of this village.
We're the fucking what now? Yost asked.
The asshole, my son. Know what happens if the asshole refuses to do its job? Owner fills full of shit?
No, I smiled.
Owner dies.
I think I like to consider myself the asshole, Nix said quietly. I feel more like the stomach.
Trust me, Nix, we're the assholes. All segments of society's lower strata are represented at this table with the exception of a cloaker.
Whoa, Yost whelped. Just fucking whoa. I'm a damned sight higher than a cloaker.
Are you, though? I asked. You transport and bury jars full of shit, Yost.
Well, okay, that's true, but a cloaker? God's mercy, they let people piss right into their cloaks.
Well, it's technically not their cloaks, Yost.
Nix, I said.
What did I tell you about that?
Sorry, but tech... They're not actually pissing right into the cloak, Yost. There are those jars hanging on the inside. They're actually pissing right into those jars, speaking on behalf of accuracy. Not sure I like actually either, I said. Cloak or jars, people are paying to rub up close against them and piss. That is some dirty, low fucking work right there, and I wouldn't be caught dead with a fucking cloaker at this here table. Nix and I nodded thoughtfully. It was hard logic to argue with. Just then someone up at the bar fell hard into the ground and several onlookers began to laugh and point. I watched them a while, and when I could no longer contain myself, said, "Fucking chiselers." "Fucking high country chiselers," Yost repeated. "High-nosed, chiseling twats," Nix agreed. "I tell you what else," I said. "This whole aversion to digging? It's horseshit." "Oh my, I don't know that I'd go that far," Yost muttered. "Horseshit!" I shouted over the crowd's laughter. "Have you ever seen a Dwergaz? Yost, you've been digging longer than Nix. How about it? Have you ever, in your miserable life, seen a Dwergaz?" "By hell, Udo, keep your fucking voice down. People are starting to look." "The fuck do I care if they look? Huh? They've been looking at me and spitting at me my entire life. It's all made up. I'm saying that right now. It's all a bunch of shit they made up to keep good men like you and me in the fucking pit and them at the top of the heap. They're fucking Dwergaz and they're fucking fairy tales." "Oh, damn you sideways, Udo. They're coming over here now. Let them. Let them, fuck them, and fuck the Dwergaz!" It was at that point, the very climax of my philosophical discussion, that a few men came over and offered to see us all safely home. They were concerned, you see, as we were becoming lively and drawing attention. There was some worry about us stumbling and hurting ourselves as we walked home and so forth. I must have carried a black eye for a week after that, but I don't like to go into too much detail. We were all three of us banned from the alehouse for a month, and the boys, Yost and Nix, didn't speak with me very often after that night.